tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Oh, shout out to Marissa hitting that right part right there.
Let's get it, yo. What's going on, everybody? We are here live at AfterBuzz TV. We are covering episode 2 of Survivor's Remorse. But before I get started, make sure you go to youtube.com/AfterBuzz. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. We are also on SoundCloud as well as on iTunes. So make sure you show love. We're going to be live. So if you have any questions, any comments, make sure you comment in the YouTube section. I am your host, Jimmy V, and of course we are all live on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me at Be Your Own Dad, but trust me, I got my crew. I'm squatted here. So to my left, what's up?
Hey, what's up? You know, it's me, your girl Trine. Hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at your girl Trine.
Hello, everybody. It's your girl Shaprentice Lynn. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Shaprentice Lynn with two N's.
Okay. And of course, I am Gary Thomas. You find me on Instagram and Twitter at I am Gary Thomas. And of course, I am GaryThomas.com.
Of course. And if you guys are tuning in, you're in for a special episode because we got the homie. We got the superstar, Cam Calloway, a.k.a. Jesse T. Usher. Let's give him a round of applause, quick.
What it is. What's poppin'?
Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us, brother.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. So this episode, of course, was called A Time to Punch. And my homie over here, he did get clocked in the eye at some point. I'm not going to rush too much into the episode there. But of course, we see the episode start off with the house manager, who, as we know, he takes care of, supposed to take care of everything with the house. He's supposed to make my man's life over here nice and easy, but it sounds like he's coming for more than what he actually doesn't have.
Right. He was supposed to manage everything. Remember, he's supposed to make sure the butler
It seems so far-fetched. The story was so outlandish, and it was just like, even to the point where he said, I'll give you $3,000, that's it. I was just like, I wouldn't give him shit. Get out of here. You better earn this. Like, go do your job and go get a loan somewhere from where, you know, anybody else. But
exactly,
this just was outlandish.
So then we find out the manager is having some type of issue. His mother is sick or something like that. And he
freak
approaches
at the airport.
Reggie for some cash. And at first, he does ask for $11,000. Before we even get into that, how comfortable are you guys with giving away money? Like, hey, I need a loan. Can you help me out?
It just really depends. If it's a family member, then yeah. But him, he just started the job. So why is he asking for that much money in the first place?
Can I touch in real quick?
Yes.
See, that's like touching on the main topic of what the entire first season was about. You know what I mean? It was like the whole theme of Survivor's Remorse is now having all this money and having people who shouldn't be asking you for numbers like that up to you feeling like they can ask you because they think they know what you have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Todd works for us. He sees the house. He clearly sees us blowing money. I mean, even if he's only been there for a week, with the way these people live, like, he knows, like, okay, $11,000 is nothing to them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's rich. How he's... Exactly. He probably could find that in Uncle Julius's sock drawer. Like, let's be real. Come on.
In quarters.
So, you know, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. So would Cam have told? What would Cam have told?
Cam would have said yeah.
Cam probably would have said
yes. Everybody,
I'm not gonna lie.
Season one, Cam for sure would have said yes.
Yeah. Season two, Cam might have consulted with Reggie, but still would have been favoring the yes. Because
you're a grown ass man, remember?
He's a grown man. But you know, they got that relationship now. They understand each other a little bit more. So he would have consulted, I think. But you know, that's why Reggie's there, so he doesn't have to have that conversation no more. Yeah. Anything comes up like that, just goes to him. Yeah. Cam got other things to worry about.
Now, how do I ask this question? Like, what made Cam turn from being a person who always wants to give out to now he's like, nah, nah?
You know, it's just like a learning experience. There's a lot of times where he might have just been like, okay, yeah, I'm going to give it out. Yeah. But he also knew that it wasn't necessarily like the best thing to do.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of times in the first season that because Reggie was so stern on the other side of the spectrum, that Cam felt like he needed to just, you know what I mean? Just step up and be his own man. Like, I don't care what you say, I'm going to do it anyways, you know? So it wasn't even so much that he was just too generous.
Okay.
It was the generosity plus the fact that he felt like Reggie was just being too controlling. So now that they have, you know, they've worked through a lot of stuff together, Cam has seen a lot of shit go wrong, you know, so he's like, all right, yeah. I need to be better, you know, at this. It's not just about giving people money.
Okay.
You know, so yeah.
But isn't that a common trait of us as entertainers? We want to put the hood on. I don't quite honestly put the hood on like that. I'm not good for it like that. You got to have real talent, but I see people who put the hood on, it doesn't always even turn out right. And I think that is a common theme amongst anybody in entertainment anymore.
That's true.
Definitely true.
That's true. I can say I saw a huge change and growth from Cam from episode one, season two, to episode two. Just with the whole coke thing, he was telling his sister, you know, for charity. I thought that was like, aw, look at that.
I don't know.
He might be a grown man now.
Cam can tend to have some smug ways where it is about the upper hand because he is the moneymaker. Sometimes I feel like that's the traits he has. And like the 50 Cent is more than just the charity. Of course, money's going to go to charity, but it's like, let me control them a little bit because they're out of control sometimes.
Yeah. But if he doesn't do that, then what do you think will happen, though? Let's be honest. With that group of people, if somebody is not trying to like hold him down a little bit, you... 30 for 30.
Yeah.
In a year. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's not... Somebody has to be in control of the family. Reggie's not in the household, so he can't really do it. He could do it from a business standpoint, which he did in the first thing. I don't know if you guys remember, but they put everybody on a salary. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. That was like Reggie's doing. You know, but within the household, there's still so much that can go wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, Cam has to be the one to do it. He's the only... I mean, there's Uncle Julius, but Cam is really
cannot leave that. Uncle Julius.
Exactly.
Hell no.
Thank you. So now you see what I'm saying.
So then, with the whole idea of having to pay 50 cents for a can of Coke is where the whole argument evolves to the sister and Cam. They get into a huge... It's at first verbal. And then she throws down with a huge Super Bowl ring.
Somebody tell me, come at me, bro. I'm gonna come at you like we're at this point now.
Yep. So then that ends up happening. Cam gets socked in the eye.
She got lucky.
Knocked the butt out.
She got lucky that time because I was mid-sentence. You know what I mean? You know how you get hyped up in yourself. You'd be like, yeah, so you're not going to do nothing. You know, my eyes was down when she did it.
Yeah.
That's all that was. That's all that was. She got lucky. She timed it right.
And then that's where they start to get the whole idea of we slipped on some coke.
But
we started this episode. What are we saying? Going to be honest. We're on the new trait of the
mission statement.
Yeah, that's right.
The mission statement of the Cam Calloway brand. We're going to be honest. But as soon as the things hit the fan, we're lying again.
But did he deserve it? Do you guys think he deserved it?
Of course not. But like she said, he had it coming. So
violence
don't approach the big sis.
However,
you just said it. She said, come at me.
You told me to. You told me to. That wasn't my asking for. You told me to. So I just obliged to your request.
So he deserved it.
He told her to. He didn't deserve it. He told her to.
So Cam,
if you're in control, you got control.
Don't ask me.
Cam
deserved it. I don't know. I mean, yes and no. Yes and no. It should not have escalated to that. He should have handled it better from the beginning, I think. Mm-hmm. I think the way that he introduced the fact that everybody would have to be paying for it was very smuggish. You know, I didn't...
You didn't even tell them beforehand, like, hey.
Exactly. He's sitting there in the kitchen just looking like, yeah. You know,
by the way.
They going to learn today. You know what I'm saying? I felt like that, okay, deserves like a little... You're going to get a little bit of blowback from... You know, that kind of behavior. But to get punched in the eye, no, it ain't that big of a deal. You know what I mean? Especially Uncle Julius gave her the money for it. Like, you had the cash for it.
My man had quarters, like he was going to the laundry.
I got the change. Yeah. Who really does have, like, changes in their pocket? Like, I never have change in my pocket.
Everybody has an Uncle Julius. And everybody's Uncle Julius has change. Because you can literally hear your Uncle Julius coming from miles away.
Like, hold on, baby.
Santa Claus or something. Why do you have this change? How would Jesse have handled it?
Oh, well, handle what?
The situation with a sister and this new fame and everything. Say, for example, when the show first came out and it was craziness for you and your siblings are all wanting and you don't want to, like, help them.
I have an older sister. Mm-hmm. She's just as boisterous as Mary Charles. Like, she's crazy. That's why they get along so well, like those two. But I don't know. I feel like on the level that Cam's success came, and, like, you know what I mean? Like, his was on a whole nother level. We're talking $100 million. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. But also, Cam's family was very, I don't want to say ignorant, but they kind of were. You know what I mean? In the sense, like, nobody knew what to do. Mm-hmm. I come from a background, like, my parents are very well educated, and they've, you know, they could handle it a lot better than Cam's family did. So it would never be what that was. But I don't know. I would more so trust my family more to, like, take care of themselves in a situation like that than Cam does. I don't think we would crash and burn at all. As a matter of fact, I probably would just say, like, look, there's $100 million. Pops, you get a quarter. Moms, you get a quarter. Sis, you get a quarter. And let's make this $1 billion in 5 years. You know what I mean? It would have been more so like that.
And speaking of the family, the mother, she said, "You punched the money," and I thought that was hilarious.
You know what I mean?
You know what I mean?
Thanks, Mom. Love Tashina Arnold.
I love her.
She's hilarious.
She's incredible.
I really feel like she's like that auntie or that mom that everybody wants. Like, she throws down and she really steps in at the most. Like, the part where she just started, like, cursing, like, right in front of the lawyer. Like, I was not expecting that. She's so crazy, but I love her.
Yeah, she keeps
what are your thoughts on being able to work with her?
To be able to work with Tashina?
Yeah.
Man, I mean, I was born in 92. Tashina was on TV when I was born. You know what I mean? Like, I've watched her forever. So now it's the Tashina you get on television is the Tashina you get in real life, which I'm extremely excited about. You know, because sometimes you're like, all right, I really hope that she's that dope in person, and she really is. So to be able to work with her and for her to be the way that she is, you know, like in person, is, it's incredible. It's different.
That's what's up.
It's different. You have to respect Tashina Arnold for her being Tashina Arnold.
Yeah.
And then she's, nurturing in some way. She's very motherlike, you know, now that she's gotten a little bit older and she's been in the game for so long. She's just, you know, she's always there, like, helping us just get a grasp of things sometimes, you know, and even if it's not so much as, like, being on set, it could be, like, us out doing events and stuff like that. And she's super real with it.
I bet.
We had, like, a whole conversation. We was in a group text earlier today talking about somebody that was talking shit on Twitter. She was like, "Don't worry about these motherfuckers." She's like, "Oh, shit." We was like, "Dang, mom." She was like, "Y'all want me to go off?" We were like, nah. We good. We good. Don't worry about it.
Shout out.
Shout out to Tashina Arnold. She's amazing.
Speaking of which, because this would probably come out if you saw the last episode, you know, I didn't think you were dope.
What's that?
Because, you know, when we start a show, you always want to see the people who are on the show. You go to their Instagram, their Twitters, and I was looking at your Instagram, I was like,
oh, I saw that.
Oh, yeah. you know, who good. The hell is he?
Like, I was happy like, you felt that way.
So I didn't think you were cool at all.
Let me tell you, man, that's my truth, though. When it comes to, like, social media and stuff, if I posted what makes me on social media, I probably wouldn't be where I am right now.
Real?
My mother has always... That's right. But look, let me tell you, though. Like, my mom has always been the type of person to be like, you keep your personal shit
personal.
It's like private, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's things that you can put out for the world, and then there's things that you just can't. It doesn't mean that you can't do them. You just can't display it like, you know what I mean? Just glorify it. Yeah. Putting something on social media a lot of times to a lot of people just comes off as like glorification.
That's right.
You know, which is why you don't, like, I club all the time, but you're not about to see me just like porn shots and bottles. Listen, and like all this crazy
shit. If I see you at Greystone, don't act like you don't know me.
You don't see me at Greystone.
Sunday. You remember me, right?
Right. It's not that I'm gonna like run if I see a camera. I'm just not gonna be the one to be, you know, all over my social media and stuff like, look how many bottles we had. Exactly. You know, it's not necessary.
Okay. There you go. There you go. Exactly. Which I think that kind of shows who Cam is and who you are as a person. I think Cam, he would be the one to, hey,
oh, for sure,
see me do this, all that stuff. So
yeah, Cam,
he's grown.
Yeah,
grown.
There's a couple of differences.
All right, to move along quick. So the real footage comes out, and Todd was the snitch. Todd, aka the house manager, because as we were speaking of it, there's no other way the media would have been able to get a hold of that footage. And Reggie goes off.
He goes down. All the way off.
And I was dying. I was dying. What? What's one word you could say to describe Reggie?
To describe Reggie?
Reggie.
One word to describe Reggie? I don't know. Like a patriarch, maybe?
A patriarch?
A patriarch, like fatherly. You know what I mean?
Is that the same word you would use to describe Ron Rico?
Yeah. Ron Rico is more fatherly than Reggie is, for sure. Like, anytime we all together, there's like this ongoing joke. We be like, oh, shit, Daddy Rico's coming. You know what I mean? Like, because he just had like a newborn son, you know, a year ago, and his wife is pregnant again. You know, I think his baby's going to be born this week, actually. Congratulations.
Oh, congratulations to him.
So Rico is in like full daddy mode all the time. Like, he spends his days golfing and fishing, you know what I mean? Like, after a long day, like, he's like, I'm going straight to sleep. Like, you don't want to go to dinner? Nah, yeah, I gotta go back. You know, but like, we all understand, you know, he's got to go back home and deal with a pregnant wife and a newborn baby, and then he's doing long days with us. So like, we get it. But for sure, Rico is a dad.
So you guys seem like a family on set. You have Mama Tashina and then Daddy Rico.
Daddy Rico.
So how is it on set where Daddy Rico?
Oh, he's gonna kill me for this.
We can get him to call in. That'd be funny.
What time is it right now?
That'd be cool.
It's like 8 o'clock right now, right? No, it's 11 o'clock in Atlanta. Rico's asleep. He's out cold.
So how's it working with Tashina Arnold and Ron Rico and Erica and Mike Epps and just the whole cast? How is it on set?
You know, we gel together almost instantly. The casting process was long. So like, a lot of people, you know, producers and then actors as well, everybody had this desperation to just like want the show to actually come together and to work. So that kind of bonded us. Like, Rico was the first person to get cast. They tried casting my character Cam first, and they couldn't find me. You know, they couldn't find a Cam. So they casted Rico, and he was on hold for like months. You know what I mean? As they tried to find him, and he was just basically panicking. At that point, you're like, yo, is this show gonna happen? Like, you know, he talks about like how he had another role in the bag and he was supposed to film that he canceled in order to do Survivor's Remorse, and now 2 months later you're still not shooting. You know what I mean? Like, he started to lose his mind. He's like, yo, I got my first baby on the way. Anyways, so like, anyways, he gets, you know, to the point where like, now we're actually starting to find other characters. And as soon as they casted Erica, he was like, oh, thank God. You know what I mean? And that kind of attitude you get from someone else automatically makes you feel a little more comfortable with them.
Yeah.
So the fact that, you know, I was going on these testings with Erica and Ron Rico, they were kind of just like, yo, you gotta be the man. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, no matter what, like, you gotta be. And they just installed all this confidence in me, and we just kind of came together during the casting process. Tashina, they had booked, you know, on, like, in New York or whatever. They flew her in, and we were already kind of, we had this bond already. So, like, she came in there, and, you know, it's Tashina, and she can blend with anybody. Gotcha. So it kind of just worked out. We all met Mike Epps at the Tabor Reed. Mike is like glue as well. And then it just worked. You know, Tiana, I don't think I ever did a test with Tiana. I didn't meet Tiana until we were in Atlanta getting ready to film. But it's the same thing, you know what I mean? We all had this family already built. It's like, you're either going to be with us or you're going to be the outsider. So, like, luckily, we all came together and just worked. And it's been the same way ever since.
And it's working.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
And so, what were your first thoughts when you found out you got the role, you'd be auditioning
for
it?
Oh, man. I was relieved. I was ready to, like, finally sleep. You know what I mean? Like, I think I was going through that process for about 4 months.
4 months? Wow.
4 months. Okay. Yeah. I did 2 reads for Kim Coleman. It was a casting director. She cast our show. And after that, I didn't hear nothing for like a month and a half. And then I got another call from Kim. And she's like, hey, we want you to come in again and do another read for Survivors of Morris. You know, she's like, you remember? And I'm like, yeah, I remember. So I went in and did another read for it. But it was like completely different. Like, they had changed the whole vibe of the show. And we kind of just worked it together for a long time. And then I didn't hear nothing for like another month. And then, you know, they were like, all right, we want you to kind of go into Stars and, you know, do some reads with some other characters, like that kind of thing. Yeah. And I went in there, and there was like 6 or 7 dudes reading for Cam. And I read with just Ron Rico at that time. Then I came back the next week, and it was like 7 or 8 more dudes in there, different guys reading for Cam.
Wow.
I read with Ron Rico and Erica. Then I came back the next week for another test. Yeah, it was,
so you
it was
a lot it was of
rough.
Guys.
It was rough. Yeah.
But you got it.
I got it.
Look at her.
There you got it.
You did it. Done.
Very happy about it.
Yeah. Well, for anybody who's trying to, you know, enter into the acting field, you just heard it here straight from Jesse. It takes a lot of hard work.
And, yes, it
does. Definitely don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people who would just say, like, you know, man, I ain't going back in there, dude. They clearly don't like me. You know what I mean? If I've been auditioning for months, that's not necessarily what it is. It's just they had so many people with opinions, you know? It's just like it's hard for everyone to come together. They have a long list of producers and executive producers, and then the directors, and because we change directors every episode. So, it's, you know, it's crazy.
Wow. Well, I'm going to stick to hosting, all right? I don't know about y'all.
Well, I have a theater arts degree. I kind of thought it was.
All right, great. So just to move this along, so we come to find out they turned the whole argument between the Cam as well as to the sister into this whole domestic violence issue, which I thought it was kind of unique, but at the same time interesting, because you don't hear a lot about men being abused by women. You always hear the opposite way.
And that's where I've always kind of had a stand on. It's like, yes, there's more numbers in men, you know, beating women, but it still happens. Women do beat men. And it's not even so much as it's just physical. There's verbal and emotional abuse that women, you know, pose on men. And so it's very there, and it's prevalent. And I commend, you know, this episode and what you guys did this episode and raising awareness for. You did it in a funny way, in a comical way, but it's still there. It's still present. It's still prevalent. It's still, you know, happening. So I loved it.
Yeah, no, and then, you know, usually when guys get beat, you always think, oh, they're P word with that rhymes with wussy. And that's what happened in the show. He's a P word.
Right. He's a P word. You know what that is.
So. No, we don't always say that. We say when he doesn't put his hands back on her, like, we come in and like, listen, she was asking for that beat down, but you held yourself together and didn't hit her back.
Right.
So that's mostly what we get. Either, you know, he was soft, or you did a good job, you hit her back, because you could have clocked her.
You could have.
We've seen. We've
I don't know.
Seen
my man was down on the floor for the count. I don't
know.
He could have had an adrenaline rush that got him right back up.
Nah.
Now he was out for the count on that.
I got an older sister. Even if I do got an adrenaline rush, I'm going to be like, she swung the first time. Like, I'm going to just Yeah, no, I'm a chill. You know, sometimes you got to know when to hold it. Exactly. Mental notes. Exactly.
In the interview part, when they were interviewing you guys, that was the most funniest part because Mary Charles, she's so ready to squat up anytime.
She did so good, though.
She did good, but it was the same time, like, she didn't make any sense whatsoever. Like,
I was following her. Take your time. Wait for the Lord. Let him lead you, guide you.
So you had to do where? I'm going to need you to use a little bit of discernment with this and tell me what God's trying to say to you, okay? She was like, it's just a mystery. What is the mystery? What are we trying to do with God right now?
So you can't explain your personal relationship with God and what he tells you to do.
Discernment. Okay? Judgment. What you think you're going. What positivity you're trying to come out of this.
And then I loved as soon as the interview was over, she went 0 to 100 quick and she flipped out on the radio host because I feel like the host was trying to flip the whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think?
Of course.
Yeah. She was provoking it. You're assailant and, you know, the victim. So she was so provoking it.
Yeah.
She deserved it.
I feel like they always go after Mary Charles. Last season when the pastor went after her. And every time, Cam always has her back, no matter what. You could even tell in the interview how he was just like, that's my sis. Don't talk about her like that, you know?
What I was trying to get across was like, you're going to die if you don't shut the fuck up right now. Like, you don't know, man. Sis is from the streets. Like, she gonna get you.
So as soon as that scene wraps up, we go to Cam dealing with the I forget the catcher's name, but the endorsement deal. Yeah. And then he said he's gonna cut the endorsement deal because he doesn't deal with anybody who deals with domestic violence. And the mom,
they don't sell
high-heeled
shoes.
Yeah.
Shoes at Dachshund Bao.
Exactly.
But raggedy shoes at Dachshund Bao. Right. Shoes that fall apart.
We've clearly seen those shoes are horrible.
They fixed the shoe last season.
They fixed it in season one. You'll see a lot more of that. You know, later on in the season, they'll start touching back on that topic a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
On a personal note, would you had gone Cam's way and be the number one man in China or gone with a known brand as like Nike?
I would have gone Cam's way. It made much more sense business wise than to just
money,
go with Nike.
Money wise too. Mm-hmm. It was an extra $5 million?
No. Well, talking about was more money.
So, yeah. It was $40 million. I think Nike wanted to do 30, and then
came with 35.
Under Armour was
Under
35.
Armour was 35.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't throw LeBron James shoes in there. It's his try.
I did the same thing.
Right? It makes sense. Why not?
Actually, speaking of that, being that LeBron is one of the creators of this show, have you seen him on set? Like, has he?
Oh, yeah.
Are we gonna see him on some future episodes? What's up?
You know, they released like a little bit of a teaser, so like at this point, it's not me giving anything away. Yeah, you will see LeBron in the show.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, excited. I don't have the best thing to say about LeBron because I am from Cleveland, so sometimes I am.
Sometimes
a little
biased.
A little biased, but he's not a bad actor. He's actually, you know, fairly decent for, you know, athlete. He really worked at being good in the movie that he was in, so I'd be excited to see it.
I think you guys will like it. That's all I'm gonna say. I'm not gonna say nothing else.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to it. I do want to touch upon quick, they ended the episode on the domestic violence campaign.
Yeah,
where
PSA.
They had grown men crying. I thought that was pretty funny. What were your thoughts on it?
So awkward. You can't have all like the awkward things to say, like knock it off.
Right.
Like, you can't say with the script. Like, it was just made it more awkward.
And Mary Charles so didn't want to do it. Just stop it. So over it at that point. I thought it was funny. I didn't want to laugh at the men crying though. I kind of felt bad.
Well, I mean,
but it was still funny.
When you see the last one, the guy's like,
yeah,
that is like top going off. Like,
let me stop.
Like, you just topped it off. Like, it had to be funny.
Yeah. I thought it was hilarious. Like, it reminded me of like, you know, some Saturday Night Live type of skit. Like, I really wasn't expecting it, and I really like how the writers put that in there. Like, they could have, you know, put it under the sweep, you know, sweep it up under the rug, but they didn't, and they put a little fun on it. So I really like that.
That's Mike O'Malley's doing. That's basically like the root of his genius. You know what I mean? He comes in, literally he'll watch something on TV and go like, this is ridiculous. And then he'll be like, we have to put this in the show. You know, in some shape or form. And that's, this second episode has a lot of that. There's a lot of things, especially like, you know, during the radio interview, a lot of times when something goes wrong and then, you know, as the person who is in trouble, you have to kind of sit there and just take what the interview is gonna give you. You know what's coming, you know what I mean? And you gotta just deal with it in the best way you can. And then you have these people who, you know, their job is just to like hound you about this stupid ass topic, and you know, you just have to deal with it. You have to. So that got in there, and then the PSA, he, you know, you see all the time. As soon as like Michael Vick thing happened, like the next day there was like all these, you know, like animal PSAs on about like NFL and the animals and this and that. A bunch of NFL players who probably had no idea what the hell they were talking about. You know what I mean? Or like it happens all the time. So it was like, why shouldn't we put that kind of PSA in there and then help it resonate for people to realize that, one, these people don't give a damn about what they're talking about. Yeah. So why are we forcing them to continue to do it? You know what I mean? If you really do something about it, don't just pay a couple of athletes to say something and then play it during halftime. That does nothing for the cause.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's the kind of stuff that like Michael Malley's really big on putting in the show. It's like, yo, wake up. Yeah. You know?
Well, I think that is a perfect time now. We can go into some predictions on what will come up for the season now. So,
Oh snap! I can't wait to hear these. Y'all predictions last time was pretty good.
Yeah.
Can I just say that I think my prediction finally came true this episode. I've never gotten a prediction that quick before.
Which was
Tashina, and you
she
know,
said she was looking for Tashina to get a
I
man.
I was looking for Tashina to get
that's
a man.
Right. That's right.
You really watched that episode. Like,
I did.
So, I will say my prediction, I'm going to stick with Uncle Julius. I'm going to go back to him. He did kill a dog in this past episode here.
He killed the deer and now the dog.
He was real regular. Like,
he played it off very well.
I think he keeps the comical side, actually, being that he is a comedian, so I think he's just gonna keep that coming in episode 3, so I'm looking forward to it.
I found it kind of funny how they didn't even really suspect him to do it, so I think that he's gonna get arrested this season. Like, I really want to see that happen, because I feel like it would be really funny and the family would flip out. They wouldn't really know what to do. You would see a scene of Uncle Julius like, you know, like, I'm an OG. Like, no, like,
he went
down
to
me
and
yeah.
Cool.
POV,
so. Hold it down. Awesome.
What about you, Gary?
I am waiting for Cam's heartbreak. Or
still.
Relationship. I'm going to be positive. Relationship, or so to speak. I don't really mean that. But, yeah, you know, seeing him more in the dating, you know, someone else. Because we only saw that very quick glimpse of that sex scene last, you know, time. And then we saw the little flirting. But I want to see, like, really the relationship side of balancing basketball and money and girls.
Okay. Anything you can give us a sneak peek? I don't know if you can kind of hint
sneak
at
peek?
Anything.
I'll just say in some way, all of your predictions are going to get touched on for sure.
Oh, okay.
In like one way or another.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay. There's a minute and a half, like a little sneak peek preview, where Cam is giving that opening speech talking about, you know, just like his family and new friends and new beginnings, all that kind of stuff. The clips that they cut to show basically everything y'all just talked about. You should watch it again.
That, though,
you should watch it again
a little bit closer. Right. Okay. So we'll
There's
do
a
that.
Lot of clues
watch that
in there.
Sneaking a few things on us.
Yeah.
Well, hey. Thank you once again for coming through on the show. Was there any other questions you guys might have?
No, we have to get in news and gossip.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
You want to go first?
Me and this guy. No, I don't want. I don't have news. I just want to know where you got these jeans from.
My news and gossip. That's the fashion corner.
I think I got these from Zara. I'm pretty
I
sure.
Love Zara.
Thank
I
you like for helping
Zara,
a brother out.
Right. Zara. But now, news and gossip. So Jesse, you're going to be an Independence Day too.
That's right.
Yeah, we just wrapped up for like a week ago.
A young Will Smith over here.
Oh man, that was a crazy experience. Very crazy.
So tell us about it. How did you get it? How do you feel about it?
I met a producer named Harold Closer at the gym when I was training for the first season of Independence Day. Harold's a composer and he's a business partner of Roland Emmerich, who did the first Independence Day.
Mm-hmm. All
right. The trainer also trains Harold, so he kind of made a little introduction for me, and then he told him, like, I'm training him for this show, Survivors and Moors. And, you know, he was like, Harold does, he named all these movies that Harold's done, and, you know, he's like, Harold, what do you have coming up? And Harold names a bunch of stuff, and then he kind of slides Independence Day in there.
Yeah.
And, like, as a joke, I'm like, yo, you should put me in that. And then I left town, and I guess it kind of, I don't know, he felt the need to, like, talk about it with Roland, and he was like, I think I have a guy for Independence Day. And then he showed, you know, they watched the show. Yeah. I got back in Los Angeles. I had a meeting with them both. And then he was like, yo, this might work out. So
I'm glad we go to the
so
same gym.
I'm
flexing in there.
Wait, what gym is it?
it wasn't that gym. It was a private gym. It wasn't that
gotcha,
gym.
Gotcha, okay.
But yeah, you know, we just wrapped it up. I'm playing Dylan Hiller. He's the son of Stephen Hiller, was Will Smith's character, and then, you know, Jasmine, of course, who was played by Vivica Fox.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of like grew up. This is exactly 20 years later from when the first one came out. The first one was 96. This one's coming out in 2016. So the timeline is exactly the same.
Years.
It's but in a different universe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like what the world would have been 20 years if we had an alien attack 20 years ago. And then, you know, of course, during the first film, I think it was like 70% of the world got wiped out. So like things changed a lot just in terms of the way like how people are and how they treat each other and how they've reunited. And Roland, being a man of the world, like really wanted to touch on that. He feels like people should be more united than what they are. So that's like a really big topic in the second film, and you'll see a lot of that in the second film. I think it's gonna be great though.
I'm excited.
So make sure you check out 2016 Independence Day with Jesse T. Usher.
Yeah.
Here.
I just want to say, with Jesse and Tiana and Michael B. Jordan, this is right now the young black actors' time, and I think it's very vital for us to jump on this and really use this to our advantage, because we're right now shining, you
Absolutely.
Know, and it's great.
Yeah, that's we right. have the attention and the respect that we've been working for a very long time, and
mm-hmm.
now the industry is starting to kind of like catch on a little bit. You know what I mean? Like after Empire, like really did his thing, and now Straight Outta Compton is murdering.
Oh, yeah,
love that. Ain't no movies out right now.
Yeah.
Straight
yeah.
Outta Compton.
See it again.
Shout out Jason Miller and Corey Hawkins. You know, my
yeah.
boys. Or Jason yeah. Mitchell, but yeah. So you know, right now it's a good time to be a young black actor for sure.
That's what's up. Well, keep holding us down.
Shining.
All right.
And if I see you at Greystone.
No, don't see me at Greystone.
No, I'm just kidding.
You might see me at One Oak. You ain't gonna see me at Greystone.
One Oak is my spot. I like, I like One Oak.
All right, guys, and I believe that is it for our show.
Yes.
Once again, I want to thank Jesse T for joining in on us. Make sure you guys continue the conversation. We are all on Twitter and Instagram. Jesse, if you can shout out your tag real quick so the people could know.
Twitter, @_JesseT. Instagram, Jesse T Usher, just flat out.
Got you. I'm your boy, Jimmy V, @BeYourOwnDad on Twitter and Instagram.
Your girl, Trinae. You know where to find me at, Twitter and Instagram. @YourGirlTurnay. Hit me up.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram @ShaprentisLynn with two N's.
Of course, I am Gary Thomas on Instagram and Twitter, and IamGaryThomas.com.
And make sure you don't forget to tune in next week for episode 3. We're going to still be here, and we're going to hold down episode 3. So catch you guys next week.
I can't wait for y'all to see that.
Oh, man.
Squad.
Oh, God.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later! expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.